Why don't we pray and then we'll read our Bibles. God, thank you. Thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you that you let us come together and sing to you. You are holy, God. And we long for the day that in your presence we will sing that over and over and over again. Not because we have to, but because we can't stop singing. God, I pray that as we sing here, that you would give us a sense of connectivity to you, that we would feel your presence and know that you hear. And now, God, as we read your word together, I pray that you would indeed speak through your word to us. You draw us to you and help us know you better, become more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. So here's a question. How do you respond when somebody corrects you? When somebody, you know, says, hey, your boss, you didn't do that right. And even if there's not a finger, it feels like they're wagging their finger at you, right? You didn't do that right. Or when somebody says, you were the worst one. You sinned. If they say the S word, you sinned. Like, oh, you say, it's not just I made a mistake. You think I actually committed a sin. How do you respond? What rises up out of you when someone tells you, can you remember the last time that somebody told you that you didn't do something the way you were supposed to do it, that you didn't have the right attitude, tone of voice wasn't right, something wasn't good about what you did, and if you can't think of anything, maybe you've walled yourself off a little too much. But remember that time when someone said that you're wrong, didn't do it, didn't do the thing, didn't do the way you should. Didn't you feel a sense of just rejecting it? Who are you to tell me that you didn't do it either? The tone you're using with me right now isn't a very nice tone. We respond, we reject, we push back, we say, I didn't do it, even though we did. You ever notice that the words, I didn't do it, just like come out and you're like, I did do it though, but why did I just say I did? We push back. We don't like being told that we didn't do something right, that we're not the people that we think we are. Why do we react like that? Why do we push back against being corrected? Isn't it because we want to be good people? We want to think of ourselves as I'm a good person. I'm not the person I was, and I'm not the person you might be, but I'm a good person. I want to be thought of as good. I want to think of myself as good. I want to think of myself as somebody that has, you know, overcome things in the past, definitely. But now, currently, I'm pretty good. That's why, isn't that why we hide the stuff that we know that we shouldn't do or think or say that's not good about us? We keep it out of view because we want to be seen as, and we want to think of ourselves and see ourselves as good people. So when somebody asks us, how are you doing? What are we always, almost always, to the point where somebody doesn't say it, you're like, now you just made it weird. But we say, I'm good. Everything's great. Doing fine. Nope. Nothing to see here. Move along. Ask the next person. I'm doing well. Hey, we're really conscious of other people's problems. I mean, you don't even have to know me very well to know what my things are. I know what I can spend a little bit of time with you. I know what your things are. We look at the people around us. We know what their problems are. If we were to say, what are kind of some of the persistent sins of the people that live with you? You can make a list, especially after being quarantined with them, right? You can make a list easily, a long list, an accurate list. We know what their stuff is. We're not as conscious about our stuff. We're not as conscious about the stuff that battles against us. But here's the thing. There always is a temptation, or maybe multiple temptations. There always is something. There always is temptation that is battling against us, against each one of us, against you and I. Every moment is a constant thing. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 15. We're just going to read for a minute. Because what the Apostle Paul here describes is what is he describes what the battle that comes against us, that is part of a continual part of our life. He describes what that battle looks like, and it's a continuous battle. There always are temptations that battle against you and I, even if we're not really conscious of them. Romans 7, verse 15. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, my inner being. But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law that dwells in my members and my body. It's a battle. That's what he's describing. He's describing a continual battle inside of us. You see how he said that? He's not talking. He's talking first person. He's talking. He makes it personal for himself. And he says, there's a battle inside of me. There's a battle inside of us. And it's a battle with ourselves. You see how he kept going back to, there's the sin that dwells in me, my flesh, my members. He refers to it different ways. This the person that I used to be, but I still want to be or act like I am. That he puts himself against himself, the person that on the other side of that is the person I want to be. My mind is made new. I don't want to be that person I was before. I have different desires. I don't desire this. It's a battle within myself, with myself, between me and me. It's the person that I used to be before I was born again. If you're in Christ, the person that I used to be before I was born again and came out of the water, and I'm a brand new person. But born again, like a little baby, I'm new, that person against the person that I was before, that still dwells in me, that wants to take over who I am, that wants to disobey God, the person that wants to live in submission to his Father, and the person who wants to rebel against God. There's this battle inside of us. And here's the thing. It's a constant battle. It's an ongoing battle. You get that from what Paul was saying? He didn't say, I've struggled in the past with this. I've had issues in the past, and there's been this battle inside of me. Sometimes I struggle with, sometimes I have problems, but I'm okay. He describes a constant, ongoing battle, and he describes it in actual terms. He describes it in present day, first person. This is happening to me. Even though he's the apostle Paul, he's a leader, he's a mature Christian when he writes this, he describes it as an ongoing battle inside of him with himself. It wasn't just his battle. It's an ongoing battle that we all have. It's think about it. Think about the things that you did and said and thought, even today, and then yesterday, the day before. You want to keep going back? We don't have to go back very far, do we? Because we all do and think and feel and say things that we end up feeling sorry about later. It was like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Why did I react that way? Why did I? I don't want anybody to know that I thought that. We all have things that we have to ask God to forgive us for. When was the last time you had to say, God, I'm sorry. Shouldn't have reacted that way. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that way. It's you don't have to go back very far, do you? Because this is a constant battle that the Apostle Paul had and that we have even now today in this moment when we fall down, we do the same thing, we say the same thing, we think the same thing, and then we get up and dust ourselves off. It's a constant, ongoing thing. The Apostle Paul had it. We had it. It's an ongoing battle. There's this, look at verse 21 again. He uses the word law. And so in verse 22, I delight in the law of God, the moral code of God, right? In verse 21, he says, so I find it to be a law that when I do what is right, evil lies close at hand. That's not the law of God. He's saying there's a principle. There's a rule. There's a principle. There's a truism. There's something that's true. It's when I want to do right, but I am so tempted to not to write. That was something that was true for Paul. That's something that's true for us. So here's our big idea from that passage for today. There always is temptation. And I'm saying that, the non-plural or singular word, right? Because sometimes it's one, so that you could be like, it's that thing right now. I so badly want to say it. I know the juicy gossip, and I just want to say, it's that, that's that. There is a temptation, or sometimes it's multiple temptations. I'm anxious, and I'm also kind of angry, and there's this thing, and I want to do this. There's multiple, so maybe one, maybe multiple things, but there always is temptation that is battling against us. There always is temptation. And it's not us in general. It's us, me, you. There's always temptation that's battling against me in any given moment. That's battling against you in any given moment. You're not supposed to do that when you're preaching. You're not supposed to. Like single people, it's all of us, but it's individually all of us, right? It's each one of us. There always is temptation that is battling against each one of us. It comes from our flesh, like Paul said. It comes from the enemy, and it attacks us. It incites us to rebel against God. It's a battle, and it's a very dangerous battle. Listen, it's a very dangerous and important battle because these temptations are serious. Even though they sometimes feel small, it's like, it's kind of like I'm just irritated right now. It's not that big of a deal. They're dangerous. Because they always take us farther away from God. They always take us farther away from God's will for our lives. They always take us farther away from being like Jesus, from obeying our Creator, from being pleasing to our Father. We're in the middle of this battle, and it's constant. There always is something, and it's dangerous. There's a temptation that attack us constantly, and it is dangerous. And many times, and this is I struggle with the word irony. I know that most of the time you get it wrong, and so I don't know. This feels like a good time to say it's ironic. It's always around us, always battling against us, but many times we don't see it. We don't know. We don't realize in the moment that that's a dangerous temptation that's battling against me, that we don't know. We don't realize that my temptation in this moment is this thing. It's feeling this way. It's thinking this way. It's doing this thing. It's saying this thing. We're clueless. We don't realize how the devil and our flesh is attacking us at any given moment. Now we can look back and say, yeah, there was a time when I really struggled with that, especially big temptations, the kind of thing that, you know, can get you, you know, put under church discipline, bad things, big things. We can look back and say, I did struggle with that at that time. But the daily temptations, we don't see them. We don't realize in the moment. We're not conscious of them. We don't know what's happening as they're coming against us. It's almost like if we were in the forest, and it's like we treat these temptations like they're little mosquitoes. And it's like, yeah, they're annoying and stuff. It's like, oh, bit me, okay, whatever. It's not the best thing, not the ideal situation, not the greatest thing to have happen, but, you know, it's just kind of part of life and no big deal. Brush them off. It's what happens when you're in the forest. Instead of seeing them like the big, angry, grizzly bear that's about to take our spiritual head off, that's attacking our very life. And when we do realize, yeah, that is a temptation, I'm kind of doing the thing again, and I'm saying it, and I'm feeling that I'm not doing what I should do. When we do realize it, what do? We minimize it. We say, it's not that big of a deal. We don't recognize it for the battle that it actually is. Go back and read what Paul said. He recognized his momentary temptations for the battle for his soul that they were. We don't say, I got a little upset. It was just a little innocent flirting. Wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, yeah, I told the story and it wasn't my story. Was that really gossip though? We're going to pray for them, right? It's not that big of a deal. We minimize our sin when we do see it. It seems like, and I may be wrong about this, but it seems like the longer that we are with Christ, the less that we are like the Apostle Paul. The longer that you walk with Jesus, the longer it's been since you came out of that water and you started your life as a Christian, the longer that it is that we walk with Jesus, the less that we are like the Apostle Paul, who the longer he was with Jesus, he was like, he was more and more conscious of his sin and more conscious of his temptations. And I'm the chief of sinners. And no, you're the great apostle. I'm conscious of the attacks of my flesh against me. It seems like the longer that we are with Jesus, that we walk with Christ, the easier it is to be less conscious of our own sin. Why? Because, well, if we're truly walking with Christ, we can look back and we can see things that we've overcome. I used to be a really different person, and I'm not anymore. I'm doing pretty good, and I don't take seriously the attacks of my flesh and the enemy against me today. We don't see that. Because we don't see it, we don't fight against it. We give in the moment. It's easier to give in the moment when I don't see my sin and my temptation in this moment for the big deal that it is. If it's not that big of a deal, then I kind of fall, kind of slip, kind of say the thing, do whatever. It's not that big of a deal. I'll just, I'm doing pretty good. Definitely not the person I was before. I don't battle against it. Don't fight. I don't see the temptation for the battle that it is. But we are constantly in a active battle zone. That's what Paul's saying in that verse. It's dangerous. And we don't see what's happening around us and within us. And so then we fall into temptation over and over and over again. And we end up being people that others would look at and say, yeah, you don't seem that different from what you were last year, the year before. You're not reflecting Jesus, not as much. So here's what I want to say. This is going to seem so simplistic, but it's very, very powerful. This week I've been thinking about this, and I don't know if it's helped me to sin less, but it's helped me to be more conscious in the moment of the temptation. Here's what I want us to take away from this, the practical thing. In any given moment, here's what we need to do. We need to ask ourselves a question, because when we ask this question, then we can start really battling the temptation that we face in the moment. Here's the question. What's my battle right now? That's it. What's the thing? What's the temptation right now? What's the temptation in this moment that's swirling around me? That thing that I'm all stressed out, and it's like, oh, it's stress. It's not trusting God. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but that is the temptation that right now is battling against me. What's the temptation? What is the temptation that is battling against me? And don't answer it right now in the sense of that's my thing, because it changes. It changes constantly, right? What's your temptation right now? Okay, and then 3 hours from now, what's it going to be? And 2 hours before, and when you were driving here, and last night as you were drifting off to sleep, what's the temptation? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. And we don't make a list and say, I'm going to battle these and be done. It's every moment we have to be asking ourselves, what is the temptation? Why is that so important? Because go back and look at what Paul was saying. Think about what we read in Romans 7. He takes for granted that you know what the thing is. And he knew what the thing was. He knew what his temptation was. He knew as he was talking about it. Is he talking abstractly? Yes. Is he talking about multiple temptations that attack him at different times? Yes. But he is very conscious of this is what is attacking me as he's talking about that. If you read on and you continue into chapter 8 and you read the first 17 verses of it, you should. Like tomorrow with your family, sit around and read Romans 8, verse 1 through 17, and then talk about how this tells us how to battle against our sin. As he gives those instructions that follow on the heels of chapter 7, he takes for granted that you know what you're battling against. We have to know what is the thing in this moment that I'm fighting against. What is the temptation that's fighting against me, that's battling against me? What is that temptation? We have to ask ourselves in this moment, not what's my big ongoing sin, what's my weaknesses. We can make a list of those. But in this moment, what is the thing? There always is one. It's constant. It could be a persistent sin. Maybe that's what it is. It's the same thing you've fallen into over and over again. Now it is again, and I'm feeling the thing, and I want to say that, and I want to do it. What is that thing? Maybe it's just a momentary thing. It's like, I haven't had this temptation for forever, but I'm tempted right now to say or do something that maybe it's kind of a new thing, or maybe it's an old one that is one of the things in the past that you look back and say, I've overcome that, and now it's kind of coming back, and I'm in this instance, in this moment, this is what I'm battling against. We have to know what that is. What is the moment? Because when we know in the moment what the temptation is, what we're battling against, then we can truly battle against it. Then we can read Romans 8, the first part of Romans 8. Don't read the whole thing, but I'm referring to Romans 8, 1 through 17. We can read that, and when I know what my temptation is in this moment, I can battle against it. I know what it is that I'm battling against it, so I'm able to come against it. I'm able to accept, like Paul talks about in Romans 8, that I have to win the battle against it. It's not an option for this to be part of my life. I can accept that because I know the thing that I'm battling against. I can choose to think of things of the Spirit instead of thinking of that. In fact, I can think, what is the opposite of that? How do I go in the opposite direction of that? I'm stressed right now. So I keep going back to that. I don't think I'm stressed, but that just seems to be a natural one. So maybe that is. Maybe it's confession time. I don't know. Stressed right now. How do I go in the opposite direction? Oh, this happened this week. That's why. Okay, so I'm stressed right now. I can be thankful. That's the opposite. That's the opposite direction. I can start saying thank you to God. I can be thankful. I can start cultivating a thankful heart in this moment, because that's the opposite of thinking on the things of the flesh. In this case, me being stressed out, I can think of things of the Spirit. I can think of the opposite of that. I can seek the great power of the Holy Spirit that Paul talks about in those next verses, that the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that will give life to my mortal body. In the context of that, he's saying, you'll be able to overcome this temptation. You'll be able to battle against it. You'll be able to win this battle. And then maybe in the moment, the enemy has kind of tricked you into thinking it's not that big of a deal. It's just, you know, you're feeling some stress. Everybody feels stress. It's normal. It's natural. It is, but then you look back after you battled against it through the power of the Spirit, you've overcome it, and you're grateful and you're thankful and you're at peace and you're trusting in God. Now I'm not stressed anymore. You look back and say, wow, that was a spiritual battle. That was a battle for my heart and for my mind, because I was going to leak over into how I treat my family and the person I become, and one thing builds on another, and the Spirit gave me the strength to overcome it. When we know what we're struggling against, what the battle in the moment is, we can confess it. We could confess it. We could turn to somebody in our family or a trusted brother or sister and say, I'm really struggling with. And we save confession for, like, I'm mired in the depths of alcohol and drugs and sex and just horrible things that have overtaken my life. We need to use confession like Romans 5, verse 21, the end of Romans, or no, sorry, I'm saying Roman, James 5, end of James 5. We need to use confession. We need to use confession for the little things, in quotation marks, little things, the stress of the body. I'm really battling with stress. I'm really battling. Really, that's not trusting God. I need to learn how to confess that. If I'm, you know, walk through the kitchen and my wife's there, and not because she's in the kitchen. It's, we all cook in our house. It's not that, but just, I just happen to walk out of my office into another room and my wife's there. I turned to her. I need to develop the habit of saying, I'm struggling with stress and not trusting God right now. Would you pray for me as I walk back to my office? We need to confess, and we could do that when we know the thing that we're battling against in this moment. And then when we fall down and we do something we shouldn't do because we know we're fighting that sin, we're battling against it, we can pick ourselves back up and be thankful for the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And when we know what it is that we're battling against. So what is the practical application for us? Learn to ask ourselves this question as we go through this week. Just at every moment, just try to be conscious of what is the temptation that is attacking me right now? What am I being tempted with? What is that? Start asking yourself that. And here's what, and if you say, yeah, I think most of the time I'm going to come up blank. Maybe, but probably the Spirit of God, who convicts us of sin, who leads us into all truth, he will guide you into truth, and he'll make us be aware of. Every time I've asked myself that question this week, as I've been thinking about this, I've thought of something. And maybe that's just because I'm much more of a sinful person than y'all. But maybe it's because the Spirit tells us when we say, what am I struggling with? And God through His Spirit says, this is what the enemy is using to tempt you with right now. He makes us aware of that battle. So learn to ask that question just as you go through your day. This isn't like do it once in the morning and be done with it. Just as you're going through the day, what am I struggling with? What's the battle? What's the temptation? What is attacking me? As we go through that battle, we got to read the last two verses of Romans 7. There's hope. There's hope. And the hope is in the gospel. When we're overcome with that temptation, now we know what it is, and I'm overwhelmed with it. When I've fallen and I feel condemned, when I don't know if I'm going to be able to ever overcome the thing and be a different person. Look at Romans 7, verse 24. Wretched man that I am. So as he describes a battle with himself, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I should keep reading, but this is why we take communion together every week. Because together, collectively and individually, we say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm trapped in this body of sin, and I fall down, and I can't fight against it. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's why we take the bread. We drink the cup, we remember his body, we remember his blood, we remember what he did on the cross, because thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because what he did on the cross, I'm able to be forgiven. I'm able to be forgiven when I fall down and dust myself off, and I'm able to be filled with his power. The same power that raised him from the dead lives in you if you are in him. That's Romans chapter 8. And then keep reading Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we have a promise. We have a promise of power, promise of forgiveness. When God makes us his children, when he fills us with his spirit, he fills us with his power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead gives us power to overcome those momentary temptations. And he forgives us when we fall down, when we fail in our fight. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We can have victory in this battle. We can have victory over the temptations of every moment. And if you're not in Christ, if you've never become a Christian, listen, you're in this battle too, and you're thinking about the things that you battle against, but you're by yourself. You're alone. You can only depend on your willpower to be the person that you know you should be and to not do the thing and say the thing. And then you know that's not enough. And then you fall down and you're guilty of every time that you fail. But when you enter into Christ, when you become a Christian, when you give yourself to him, when you repent and are baptized, you receive the power of his Spirit. And that power is living in you and helps you battle against your temptations, against your flesh. It's a power you can't even imagine right now. You can't imagine what it's like until you receive it and you receive the forgiveness of the cross. And then you're able to say, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for me. I'm not perfect. I'm not the person I should be. There's no condemnation for me. And in this community, when you say, I want that, I want God's power, I want his forgiveness, I want to be God's child, tell someone you can repent and be baptized. And for those of us who are Christians, as we take the bread, drink the cup in this moment, we remember, a wretched person am I, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Jesus on the cross gives me forgiveness as I fail in my struggle against my flesh, and he gives me power to be victorious tomorrow. Why don't we pray, and then we'll take the bread together. God, we thank you. We thank you that in your grace, you remind us of the battle that we face. And you don't let us just drift away, because that's what we do on our own. And in your grace, in your great mercy, and your love for us, you have given your son, and his body was broken on the cross. And as his body was broken, because his body was broken, we are able to say, there is no condemnation for me. If I am in Christ, there is no condemnation for me. And even more than that, who will rescue me from this body of sin? Thanks be to you. Thank you, God, for your son, Jesus.
And for those of us who claim him as Lord, we have that power, we have that hope, and we remember him and we thank you. Remind us as we go through this week, God, make us mindful through your Spirit. Remind us, show us what our battle is in the moment so that we can truly battle against it through the power of your Spirit and be victorious over our sinful nature. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.